back out on the fly at the seaplane base, and I'm sitting here with Dave Quam, the Seaplane Pilots Association's founder. And I just wanted to ask you, Dave, before we move into a different segment here, why was the SPA founded in the first place?
Jeff, in 1972, I bought a 172, no pun intended, float plane, and it was delivered from Minnesota to me out in New York, at a seaplane base 5 miles west of Manhattan by Peterborough Airport. When I got the airplane and I was going to go places, first question is, where are you allowed to go? Where can't you go? Where do you get fuel? How do you clear customs? Where do you call? There was nothing out there to give that data. And you would call a gentleman by the name of Jay Fry at Edo Corporation. Edo, people who made the floats.
Float company, yep.
Float company. And because Jay had been all over the country in a float plane, he would give you names and numbers and where to get fuel and so forth. I said, well, why don't you people publish that? Because those of us just starting out and don't know anything. I don't remember the answer. I think it had to do, they didn't want the liability of giving incorrect information. So in 1967, a seaplane association was formed I didn't know about called SPA. It lasted 1 year. Airline pilot started. I went to meet with him, and he just gave up after 2 years. He ran out of gas. Too much work. So I decided that if we start one, we're going to call it U.S. Seaplane Pilots Association. And so we designed a brochure. Edo Corporation helped us with the design. We printed it. We sent a news release to all the magazines. And I had to come up with a cross-database way to keep track of membership. Computers didn't exist for us. Radio Shack had a mainframe that dumped data every 5 minutes. I didn't dare do it. So when somebody joined, the application was put into a file by last name and state, and then 5x5 cards were made. One file by zip code, one by member number, one by renewal date, one by airplane type, the other one by last name. And we had a cross file. So it really worked well. We didn't lose any data. The only thing I didn't realize is how many times people move in 1 year. I was typing cards forever. In the meantime, I'm working in the broadcast business in New York City, but I'm working at night, and I'm flying my seaplane chasing forest fires in New Jersey and New York, and flying the Hudson River on patrol for oil spills. Bottom line is we want the data, so we formed the association so we could publish whatever came into it. As the data started coming in, we started to publish. And I also realized, from working with Madison Amadou, make your cover look better than what's inside. So our third newsletter was something like 32 pages. Wowed everybody. They thought we were a big, well-oiled machine with a corporate office someplace because the size of our newsletter, and the membership rolled in. Now,
it's all about appearances.
It certainly is. But we achieved the goal. I set out 5 goals to achieve: a good publication for what's going on, a seaplane-based directory and regulation book for what where you can land and can't land, custom clearance points, better insurance, and a body to help fight unfair closures of water. We've achieved everything that I thought we were going to do, plus, of course, at the time, the word internet didn't exist. But we went beyond, and our basic purpose is to supply the information on waterflying to those who are just starting out. There were 2 or 3 books being published at the time on waterflying, not as 45. So what's that say? There's an interest out there. And we're supplying the information, and if the only thing we ever did was our water landing directory that's about 3 inches thick, that alone, to me, was worth the 30 years that we existed.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm sure that it gets quite a bit of use, like a flight guide would for land-based operations.
It's a guide
vital. Yeah.
Well, the FAA buys them by the case. We're the only people that publish this data. You have to remember that your demographics tell you you have a small base of interest. We've got 8,000 members. That's really small compared to EAA or AOPA or the other organizations. But we're as dedicated to getting the information out to seaplane people interested in seaplane flying as the EAA is in all their activities. Bottom line is, very successful as far as getting all the information to people and the magazine and the publication. We're very proud of it. And I didn't think we'd ever reach 8,000 because our community is small. Now, look what's happening here at the base. All kinds of people are coming out, getting exposed to water flying. Where it's going to go from here, I don't know how to predict. I hope the Sport Light program will help them. Jeff, thank you very much.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for joining us today, Dave. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Now we've got some gentlemen from Whip Air joining us. Randy, how do you pronounce your last name?
Juwan.
Randy Juwan. And Mark, what's your last name?
Matheson. Mark Matheson.
Mark Matheson. That name sounds familiar to me for some reason. I don't know why. But, oh, I know a Mick Matheson. That's why. Anyway, gentlemen, your booth out here at Whip Air is a nice one, and you bring your products. This is a big event for you guys every year, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have three locations, one being down at the Seaplane Base here, one up at Building D for our services, and our main display area up in booth 57 to 59.
And, Randy, what do you and Mark do with Whip Air?
I'm the president, and Mark is our chief pilot.
Okay. So we get to talk about some operational things as well. That's pretty cool. Your number one product, what would that be?
Number one product is for the company is floats. And it's very exciting to be down here at the Seaplane Base. And I want to give a special thanks to Dave and all of the other volunteers. This event and the Seaplane Association does a lot for our flying community. And for any of the pilots out there who have a private to toy with the romance of seaplane flying, my advice is just do it. If you don't want to go and get your seaplane rating yourself, at least get out there and fly with somebody who has. It's absolutely addicting, and I think it's the funnest part of aviation.
It is very addicting. It is very addicting. Now, Randy, your float products.
Yes.
What makes the Whip Air float the best float?
I'll let Mark handle that. All his years of flying, all the different floats and all the different airplanes, he is really an expert of all experts in the industry.
Of course, every float company, you know, of course, imagines theirs is the best float. But I think different floats, and correct me if I'm wrong, but different floats serve different purposes for different missions and different types of aircraft. So at Whip Air, what do you focus on as your primary float mission?
Well, we have a very diversified product line, and in this business you have to, because quite frankly it's not a real super large market. But we try to cater to the recreational flyers and all the way up the spectrum to the firefighters that are out there saving property and assets for the governments and everybody around them. To do that takes a very cohesive engineering effort. And that's one of our biggest advantages, is we have probably 24 people in our engineering department that are ongoing all the time, year-round, building new products and improving older ones. And because of those efforts, it's helped us to stay ahead of technology and also implement that technology. The other part of it is we've been able to be very successful with regard to hydrodynamics and the different manufacturing processes to give the pilot the end product that handles the best we can make it handle and also make it cost-effective to purchase. So we're proud of our product, and we're glad that we've got what we have to sell, but we're always looking for something to build new. That's how it works.
Well, and there's some new airplanes around. That beautiful Zodiac, the Kodiak. Yeah, Kodiak, Quest Kodiak, that the... I know the government's bought quite a few of those, and it's sitting over in front of the Federal Pavilion over on Air Venture Grounds, and that's beautiful. I didn't notice what type of floats is on it, but I'm sure that you have a float that will fit on it, as well as the other manufacturers. Tell us a little bit about your product line.
First of all, I would like to talk a little bit about the Kodiak. We did come to Oshkosh with the very first Kodiak floated. It encompasses a completely new hydrodynamic and aerodynamic design. We're very, very excited about the prospect of that aircraft. And that is a 7,000 series float. And it is relatively early in the certification cycle. I literally flew first time about a week ago, and we scrambled like crazy to get hours on it to get it here, and we're, as a company, very, very excited about it, and the people at Quest are very excited as well. A couple other things that we have coming down the process is Just last week, we were over in Spain, and our FireBoss product, as Mark mentioned, is designed to put out fires utilizing our floats and filling and dumping system. And we had launched 13 sets of floats for over there over the next year and a half. Another item that we have in the process is floating the Grand Caravan. A lot of people, Caravan, the short one, is very popular. A lot of demand for the Grand Caravan, and we hope to see one here at Oshkosh next year at this time. A couple other things that we're working on is, beyond just floats, is we're working on a 182 gross weight increase. It's got a supersonic engine that we're loading in the front of that, and I just encourage people to stand by and see what we're going to be coming out on that sometime later this fall, early next year.
And Mark, he gets to fly all these products, huh?
Yeah, that's the fun part for sure, no question.
Where are you folks based?
We're in South St. Paul, Minnesota. Sierra, Gulf Sierra to the pilot types.
So when you go out and water fly, test your floats, where do you typically fly them?
We have an operational area within a 50-mile radius of our area that we pretty much stay in when we're in experimental R&D. But we have a lot of water available right around us, including the Mississippi River, which is literally within a mile of us. But we have all the different situations to test with right at hand there. So it makes it pretty easy. If we get pressed for time, then we go south where it's warm.
South where it's warm. I assume you're talking about winter in Minnesota.
Absolutely. Sometimes we're not done when November shows up.
Yeah, well, and those projects that you're working on are exciting, and that Quest is just a beautiful airplane. And I had a Fish and Wildlife fellow on the air with me just the other day talking about their duck banding operation down in Louisiana. And he was very, very impressed with the airplane. And
I had the occasion and pleasure to fly the airplane last week, and I was really amazed. After 43 years of flying float planes, it was a pleasure to get into an airplane that felt like it was designed to be a float plane. I was happy to see it come out of the water at 53 knots and stay positive rate. So it's going to be an excellent float plane, no question.
Well, that's great. Well, Randy, was there anything else that you wanted to tell us about at Whip Air?
Probably the last thing is our organizational commitment to aviation. We have 185 employees that are dedicated to supporting all the pilots in aviation and aircraft owners. Our offices, our customer service is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we make no hesitations in solving problems. People have questions. We're here to help solve problems and keep people flying. And it's like I said, it's a fun industry to be affiliated with. And we've got a whole company full of very passionate, knowledgeable experts that are just a phone call away.
Well, you sound like a great guy to work for. Can you come over and run my company? I'm sure your employees really like working for you. We're going to take a break coming up on the top of the hour here. And we are live out at the Seaplane Base, EA Radio, AM 1210, 100.7 FM, and on the web at airventure.org/radio. We are on the fly at the Seaplane Base. Tomorrow, it's going to be a surprise. We're not going to let you know until we go on the air at 1 o'clock where we're going to be. So we'll have a little anticipation going there. So we'll take a little bit of a break at the top of the 2 o'clock hour here at AirVenture Oshkosh 2008, and we'll be back.